Hello, friends of the show, Wangs, Athelstans, all of you out there, and welcome to what I'm afraid is a sadly denuded members episode, because we are lacking Dominic, who is away in America, in Florida, at Disney World, standing in queues, lavishing money on Star Wars tat for Arthur, all kinds of things like that. So I'm afraid it's just me, but it actually, do you know, it's not just me, because we thought we'd do a special, and with me on this show is Sir Tony Blair, who of course runs the Discord channel, and is also known when he's not running the Discord channel as Jack Davenport. And Jack is basically the mover and shaker who stands behind everything that Dominic and I do. So Jack, welcome to the show.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for having me. It's a bit weird, this. I'm not sure I like being on the the other side of the glass. And just to say as well, I mean, there was a genuinely sort of downcast intro from Tom talking about Dominic not being here. But I don't want people to think you're that devastated about Dominic. There's been a bit of a lost save situation with the piece of writing you're working on.
Yeah, well, I've just lost a week's work.
Tom, I'm sure we're going to be able to find it. If there are any IT engineers who specialize in Microsoft Word who would like to make themselves known on Discord.
Anyway, I'm trying not to think about it. I'm going to focus on the fun and the joy of talking to
all
of you guys out there.
Well, I'll do my best to raise your spirits.
Jack, you always raise my spirits. So basically we thought that because Dominic's not here, it might be interesting just to talk to Jack and get a sense of, you know, what goes on kind of behind the scenes, how the podcast got set up, all that kind of thing. And I asked for any questions you might have on the Discord, and we've had several. So we might as well kick off with a question from Aurelius, who asks a very simple question. How did it all begin?
Before we do that, can I ask you one thing? Can I just ask you how you think Dominic's getting on in Disneyland?
Well, when Dominic goes on holiday, he it's absolute kind of social media closed down. So nothing on the Discord, really, nothing on WhatsApp, nothing on Twitter. So I don't really know, but I'm guessing.
Would you like a little insight?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, give me a little insight. Have you had one?
Hello, Tom. Hello, everybody. Greetings from Florida. We are at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Tom, would you believe? And I know you agree with me that we should do an episode on this at some point. I have to say, judging by the crowds, there is absolutely no danger of J.K. Rowling being cancelled at all, because the place is absolutely packed. So we got up very early. We were here before 7 o'clock, would you believe? We got a wand. Arthur, would you like to tell the listeners about your wand?
So I got a reed wand, which is for people who like words and are good with writing and stuff. And they should be trusted in situations.
What sort of situations?
When you don't know what to say on the Rest is History podcast.
Okay. What's been the best thing you've done? Oh, he's gone. He's walked off. What's been the best thing you've done?
I like building my own lightsaber.
So that was in Disney World, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I said Star Wars tat. Brilliant.
So, Tom, I have to say, I mean, much as I love talking to you multiple times a week, I have greatly enjoyed having a break and being at Disney World and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, which I greatly recommend to you. You're a little bit old for it, dare I say, but I think you get a lot out of it. So I leave you in the capable hands of Jack. To all our listeners, don't worry, I will be back soon.
And there's a burning dragon somewhere.
And there is a dragon. And we'll see you soon. All right, bye-bye.
Well, I'm wondering, what would I rather? Would I rather be stuck in London fretting and speaking to tech support guys about the week's worth of work I've lost, or standing in a queue for the Harry Potter experience? I think probably the former.
Well, he's thrown the gauntlet down there a little bit. Do you want to get into J.K. Rowling's cancellation now, or should we?
I absolutely don't. Let's leave that for the episode when and if we do it.
So should we go back to the origins of the podcast? I don't know how far back we want to go, but I mean from my end, Goalhanger Films, as it was then,
and it's Goalhanger because there's a link with Gary Lineker.
So yeah, Gary Lineker is the co-owner of Goalhanger Films, which was a sports TV production company.
And so for Americans who may not be entirely familiar.
Yeah, he's you know, the biggest name sport presenter in the UK, former England footballer, very successful footballer turned sport presenter.
And also very, very, very famous for his enthusiasm for crisps or chips, as Americans call them.
Yeah,
he
indeed.
Advertises them. I think, is that the longest advertising campaign in British advertising history?
I believe so. It's the longest sort of personal endorsement, yeah. which is still going. So he and Tony Pasta, who runs Goalhanger Films, created that company to make sports documentaries, TV documentaries. Obviously, it's been a bit of a step from there to history podcasting. Tony is a massive World War II history fan, I suppose, is the way I'd describe it, and was a reader of your brother James's books. Found that there wasn't a World War II history podcast. Approached James. They approached Al Murray and created We Have Ways. So where I came into it was Tony and I were working on a few sports podcast projects. So I was a BBC sport producer for many years, working on things like boxing coverage. I don't know if we have any crossover listeners to the Costello and Bunce boxing podcast, but I produced that for many years. I said to Tony, you've got the James Holland podcast. I follow Tom Holland on Twitter, his brother. He's very witty and entertaining on there. Well, why don't we try and do something with Tom? And I had in my head that I wanted it to be something a little bit more broad than We Have Ways, just focusing on World War II history. And so we met for a coffee at one of the chain of bakeries popular in the fancier areas of London. Do you remember that meeting, Tom?
I do. Yes, I do. And I threw around
a few names.
Well, so what I remember about the start is that I first became aware really of the idea of doing a podcast, which I'd never really listened to. I'd never listened to podcasts particularly. When I was on holiday must have been the summer of 2020. So it was coming out of the first lockdown. So it was when holidays were really precious and you wanted to savor every moment. And we were in Cornwall, we wanted to go to the beach. And my brother said, "Oh no, I've just got to record an episode of the podcast." And I said, "Well, oh, come on. I mean, surely you can do it some other time. I mean, is it, please, come on." And he said, "No, I've got to." And so I heard, he was there for kind of 40 minutes and I kind of heard operational level, going in hard with elite squad of picked men and all these kind of phrases drifting out. And so I asked him afterwards and said, "Well, you know, why are you doing it?" And he said, "Well, it's great fun, real sense of community, and there's always a prospect of earning some money." So my ears slightly pricked up at that. So when you came calling, I was kind of sufficiently intrigued and interested to go along. But then, yes, as you say, then there was the question of, well, two questions really. One was what the remit of the show should be. So, you know, my background is really in ancient history. So should we make it a kind of ancient history podcast to map on to, you know, the equivalent of the Second World War one? Or should it be a broad sweep, the whole of history? And that mattered, obviously, because that would then determine the kind of person that we should go for. But initially, because my brother had been mapped with Al Murray, who is, you know, very famous comedian in Britain, very, very, very successful, witty, funny comedian. Should we go for someone, you know, equivalent to that?
Yeah.
But I think the two problems with that, the first is that Al is basically, you know, he's exceptional. He did history at Oxford. He knows an enormous amount about the Second World War. I mean, he's, you know, absolutely able to keep up with my brother's equally voluminous knowledge of the Second World War. But the other thing is that if you are the kind of the straight guy and you're paired with a comedian, it's awful. It's awful.
It's no fun.
It's kind of like, so we have a comedy show in Britain, Have I Got News For You? And they have three comedians usually. And then the fourth person is always a politician or a journalist or someone who tries to be amusing because it's not their job. Really, they're just the fool guy. And they sit there looking like a lemon. And I didn't want to.
Carefully prepared ad libs.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be the lemon. So I thought I'll get someone who's not, you know, I'll get Dominic. Well, actually, it took us time to work out Dominic.
It did take us a while. I mean, one other thing I remember about that meeting is that we sort of got coffees. I got a chocolate croissant. We sat down. And so we were obviously chatting for a while, you me and Tony. So not touching the croissant yet. And then just sort of halfway through the meeting, you just tucked into my croissant, just, you know.
Well, you know, it's...
I thought it was some sort
big,
of, you know,
big dick energy.
Yeah, I thought sort of Lyndon Johnson-esque power play. Yes. That I hadn't.
Yes.
You know, this is how it works in the historian circle.
I don't remember that, Jack, and I apologise. Obviously, it's terrible manners on my behalf. I must have just been delirious with
someone
hunger.
Else's breakfast off their plate.
I must have been delirious with hunger at that point.
No, I think I remember what I think when we came to Dominic. I think what we'd said was, we boiled it down and we said to you, who do you have the best conversations with? When you're chatting with someone about anything, who do you have the best conversations with? And then you saw, you know, it was a little bit, I don't know if this is just rose-tinted spectacles, but it did feel like a bit of a light bulb moment, because you were just like, Dominic Sandbrook. And then you sort of said, right, I'm going to call him right now. Marched off down the road with your phone to your ear. And then a couple of weeks later, we were there in your daughter's student house in Oxford, recording the first episode.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing about, I think that I'd got from listening to my brother with Al, that I'd kind of been putting, foregrounding it, Al is a comedian, should we get a comedian or someone like that? Mm. Al knows an enormous about the Second World War. Should I get someone who also knows loads about the ancient world? And then when you said, actually, no, we shouldn't do that. We should, you know, you should just open it up, the person you'd most like to do it with. Then I immediately thought of Dominic. And then, of course, the format came in, which is two people with different fields of expertise. And I think that immediately kind of opened up huge vistas as to what we could do. And the moment we had that idea, then it felt incredibly liberating. And I think having come from doing radio for the BBC, where it was always very, very tightly scripted, where you were kind of you weren't given room to breathe.
Yeah.
The moment we had that kind of format and I thought of doing it with Dominic, I immediately thought, this is going to be brilliant. This is not in any way going to be a chore. This is going to be something I actively look forward to. But having said that, when we did that first recording, as you say, we met in my daughter's student house. Both of us were very BBC still. We were kind of very stilted, and we spoke to each other in kind of 3-minute paragraphs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're a little bit harsher on it than I am, because I think it wasn't like I knew there and there, this is a number one hit podcast, but it was like there was definitely something there. I wasn't sure on the train on the way there, because I barely knew you and I didn't know Dominic at all. But once we'd done it, I was just like, yeah, I think there definitely is something here, and we just need to sort of tinker with exactly how we're approaching what we're going to talk about each episode, how we're going to, you know, develop that kind of interplay. But this is true. It's true of radio, but specifically, you know, especially of podcasts, the relationship between the two people, the two hosts, is at the end of the day, that's what people come back for, because you have such an engaging relationship with each other. And it's fun to be part of and fun to spend time in your company. So I think with that in place, then everything else fits around that. And obviously the podcast has evolved quite a lot, especially in the earlier days. We were doing a lot more non-specific time period, you know, great, like big subjects that span could potentially span the whole of history, and sort of drawing parallels between your areas of expertise. Whereas now it's more like we're much more willing to sort of do deep dives on, you know, the Falklands.
I love the fact that we did, as I think Dominic mentioned in one of the episodes that we did the French Revolution in 50 minutes, and we did the Falklands War in kind of 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, but that is also part of the fun, isn't it? Is that we experiment. So there are different formats, different things that we try out. So as you say, I mean, to begin with, it was kind of very much greatness, all that kind of stuff, big sweeping themes. Then we brought in the idea of top tens, and that was quite a useful format. And then we did World Cups. Then with the Afghanistan debacle, we started doing episodes that were directly in response to kind of seismic events. in current affairs. And now I guess that we've kind of expanded to do with the Falklands kind of, you know, deep dives, that kind of thing. And again, that's the fun of it. You know, there's nothing to say. We, you know, we can do anything we like. That's what's so liberating.
I think there were a few questions on the Discord about how we stay on top of the episode suggestions and stuff like that. And, you know, we've had so many brilliant suggestions that we hope we will get to at some point. And we do, you know, we do read them all, and we do have a big list of stuff that we want to do. But I think in terms of the content, I think specific episodes about really big things, like, okay, maybe not the Falklands, but about crossing the Rubicon, about Watergate, stuff like that, those episodes are fantastic. And I think why they work so well is because, take for example the Rasputin episode, that doesn't really fit into either of your direct area of expertise, in terms of it's not ancient or it's not modern Britain and America. But the fact that you are both historians with such general wide-ranging knowledge, you know how to research something in a couple of days to a level where and fit it in the framework of your existing knowledge to explain it interestingly for non-historians. Like,
oh, Jack, I'm loving this. You must come on more often. This is all great stuff.
I'm not going on to blow smoke at you, but the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, we want to do all these brilliant big topics that you've got to, but unfortunately for me, Tom and Dominic are still full-time paid up writers with book deadlines and that kind of thing. And I mean, there were questions about how much preparation that we do. I mean, the vast majority of that is on Tom and Dominic, and that means that when it's something that is outside their area of expertise, I mean, how long does it take, Tom, to prepare for something like Rasputin? Is that's a couple of days' work at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's slightly more Dominic's field. So I mean, usually when we do an episode, one or other of us will say, okay, I'll do the heavy lifting here. And, you know, if it's about the Romans, then obviously I'll do it. If it's about James Callaghan, Dominic will do it. I mean, that goes without saying. But where it's kind of slightly less clear cut, one of us will kind of take responsibility for driving the episode forwards. But both of us will, you know, do what we need to do. So with Rasputin, I mean, you know, there's a bit of consultation of the Bodleian, but also, you know, reading, I read a fairly hefty biography of him, but as you say, it's also, being able to draw on fields, you know, dimensions of knowledge that you already have.
So yeah, exactly,
with Rasputin, yeah, obviously the Christianity. So
yeah,
actually the whole Christianity stuff, although Dominic may laugh about it, it does provide a very useful framework for discussion of an awful lot of topics, simply because it's so incredibly important. So that's very, very, you know, that's kind of very helpful. Anyway,
well, it's the same with Dominic doing the children's books. You know, he'd just done
absolutely
Alexander
yeah.
the Great when we talked about that. I mean, what I'm trying to get across by saying this, if it's not clear, is that, you know, if people do want us to get to all their suggestions and do all these brilliant topics that we're so desperate to, then basically you need to stop buying Tom and Dominic's books, so they'll have
no
choice but to be full-time history podcasters.
No, what Dominic and I need to do, certainly what I need to do, is to finish this book, which, you know, I've just lost a week's worth of work.
Tom will find it.
God. So, so it may be a week further before I can fully commit myself to researching episodes that I may, you know, need to do the research for. Anyway, there's another question from Mary Kirk Alves, not Mark. Although Sam, I think, had he put down, we haven't got Dom with us. Dom has done these questions, but Sam is always putting down Mark rather than Mary Kirk Alves. And she wants to know about the whole team. What are your backgrounds? Did a love of history bring you to present it in a relatively novel form? Did a love of podcasting bring you to look for a compelling topic? I guess you've kind of asked that. What roles do you each play in putting together the show? What other things are you working on? And then a flight of fantasy from Mary. For the record, based on such thin shreds of evidence as we have, my overactive imagination has already cast Jack and Dom as somewhere between Statler and Waldorf. So that's on the Muppet Show, the the grouchy old guys up in the box. And the tower controller's in Top Gun. So that's the glue sniffing. Soberly leaning into the mic and asking the lads not to buzz the tower. Sam as a young Bob Cratchit huddled over an endless spreadsheet of our relentless questions, comments, requests, and ideas upon which the sun never sets.
Well, I like Sam as the young Bob Cratchit. I mean, I don't think I've ever actually met Sam in person. So let's absolutely go with that. In terms of the rest of the team, so there's myself, there's Tony, and we sort of, I guess, you know, with the ones involved from the beginning. And then as of January this year, I've essentially packed up all my other work to concentrate full time on podcasting in this kind of way, independent podcasting outside of the major broadcasters like BBC, who I worked for before, because obviously we've had such great success with the rest of history. So people may have seen that we've launched the politics one with Roy Stewart and Alistair Campbell. So since then we've had, there's a new sort of day-to-day producer on The Rest Is History, which is Dom, who's very good and who's dealing with most of the recording and the editing, that sort of thing now. And I'm sort of more of the trying to have an overall sort of strategic view on what we should be doing, where we should be going, how much beer companies should be paying us for.
And helping out presenters who lose a week's worth.
And a little bit of, IT support here and there.
So on the question of editing, a really hot fox, great name. How much do you need to edit out of episodes? Do you guys generally keep to topic and talk for an hour, or do you talk much longer and edit it down? Are the bits you always edit out or keep for relatability?
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of that, we do so many podcasts that we don't take tons out. We clean up. Some episodes we have to edit more than others. That's more often episodes with guests. If it hasn't quite worked as we'd hoped, or if they weren't as confident a communicators as we'd hoped they'd be. So a little bit, not tons. Mostly it's I guess it would be done in the preparation and then just cleaning stuff up.
Okay, and then on the topic of editing, from Tim Vasby Byrne, the top vicar, how many times have you had to restart the recording because of corpsing?
There have been a few. I mean, my personal favourite was the start of the episode on smuggling with Alex Preston.
Yes,
I think I might have left a little bit of it in as a sort of Easter egg right at the end.
You
of
did.
The,
you did.
If anyone wants to go back and listen to that, he didn't hear it because you were both giggling so much that he did have to say, "Guys, I need to go in like, you know, an hour's time because I've got an interview on BBC Scotland or something."
Yeah, because I think Dominic was putting on his supposedly, what was it, Sussex accent,
I suppose.
But, yeah. I mean, he couldn't have sounded more like a pirate if he'd tried.
Well, no, I think it was a West Country accent, but then obviously in the episode it became clear that the West Country was nothing to do with it and it was all about Sussex. So
yeah, anyway, so there was a lot of giggling in that. And the three kind of classic corpses have been the Dwarf flunking, the marriage of Attis.
Yeah.
Yeah. The worst wedding ever, which involved castration and sex changes and things. There was a third one. What was the third? The Prussian, the Kaiser and the ballerina and everything, where we laughed so much that you actually had to edit out about a couple of minutes worth, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, you don't want to get it too sort of.
No.
I think so. Some of my favourite corpsings are during the advert recordings, which the members of course won't have heard, or indeed anyone will have heard, because they come out completely clean and straight faced about how much you're enjoying the financial services company or whatever.
No, we're fully committed. We certainly wouldn't dream of doing any advert that we weren't fully committed to. Question from Tamara Kirk, Jack, what is your favorite episode and why?
Well, I don't know about my favourite episode. I can tell you that this morning I've just submitted our entry to the British Podcast Awards.
Oh.
So we've got access to data, which you can go back and look at each episode's performance in terms of how many people are listening through to the entire thing, or like at what point people switch off. So I sort of took a very calculated approach to the awards entry. We could submit 15 minutes worth of content from four episodes, or altogether 15 minutes, so sort of 3-4 minute chunks from 4 different episodes. And in terms of the statistics, the episodes which people stay tuned to, so I guess the most engaging episodes have been Watergate, which was a big one, Alexander the Great, Rasputin, and I put in one of the bits from the Vikings Go East episode as well, because I wanted to sort of show how we take stuff from the headlines and go back and give the historical context behind it. So those are the episodes that will either win us or lose us the I think it's called the Smartest Podcast Award, which is a little bit of an annoying title. What's your favorite episode, Tom?
I think the one I would choose to save would be the Dwarf Flunking one. I don't think I've ever laughed as much. And I also think the history of the Olympics, the modern Olympics, was such an interesting topic. And I hadn't realized what an interesting topic it was until we actually started recording it. So, you know, I'd read up about it. I thought I wasn't particularly interested in the Olympics. And as we were talking, the more we talked, the more kind of, the more fascinated by the whole subject I became.
Yeah.
So I kind of I think I'd choose that one. Maybe a slightly left field choice, but
yeah, no, like that.
And in a way, you've said that you began as a sports podcaster, but actually we've done quite a bit about sport because we think that sport is pretty important. It's as a kind of mirror held up to social history. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So more than the Olympics was a kind of classic example of that. Very important question here from Pronounced Murray. The question I'm sure everyone wants answered by you: who is the bigger diva, me or Dominic?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm not going to answer, but I'll just give a few. Only one of the hosts has texted me at 7 a.m. asking to re-record an impression after the fact.
I can't think who that was.
if you want to guess on Discord which presenter it was and which impression they wanted to re-record, I'd be very interested to see the answers. And then also some of the this is going to be easy for people to work out, but obviously Dominic is quite hard to shift from his little hermitage in a leafier part of Chipping Norton. Occasionally we'll have an idea about, Dominic, can you pop down to London? We'll do an episode on this or that, or never too keen on coming down here. But I mean, just a note on that as well. We are planning some live shows later in the year. And of course, as club members, you will get first access to any of those tickets. So stay tuned for that, and we'll announce it first on the bonus pod.
Well, on the topic of Dominic not wanting to leave his historian hobbit hole, we actually have a question that uses that very phrase from Peripatetic Matt. How have you handled the variability of sound quality that comes from people being remote? Presumably you've put some kind of studio equipment into suitably isolated rooms in the presenters' homes, perhaps the historian hobbit holes, which I assume all historians possess. And how do you manage guest audio? And he says all questions arising because the sound quality is uniformly excellent. Actually, it hasn't been. There've been some shockers. So
we used to rely on you two, didn't we?
Yeah, you did. Well, so I'll just quickly answer that, Jack, from my perspective, which is that a measure for us of how well we're doing is the level of quality, the level of equipment that you allow us. So to begin with, we just recorded it into our iPhones. Then we got upgraded to a kind of special program with a microphone that you had to plug into the iPhone. And the problem with that was that it required us to record it. And every so often we would forget to do it. So the Game of Thrones episode, I remember we had to completely redo because Dominic forgot to record it. And then the episode on dinosaurs, the sound quality on that is terrible because I forgot to record it.
Yeah, so what would happen, we'd have a Zoom call where that's how they'd be having the conversation. They'd be recording it themselves in front of them, and obviously, several times. Oh God, it hasn't recorded. Well, then we'd have the choice between using the NAF Zoom audio or re-recording the entire episode. So, not the most robust system. We were going to institute like a fines program or something like that. Yeah. But we had failed to record, but
we've got very fancy kit. So we've got a kind of microphone bolted onto the side of the desk, and you pull it down, and headphones and the works, and it's like being in a radio studio. It's very glam.
Well, I'm glad you think so. Yeah, we've essentially spent the last sort of 2 years working out the same way as everyone else, you know, working out how to work remotely. And it's pretty amazing, to be honest, because the stuff that we can do now is, and the quality that we can get. I mean, on the other podcast, The Rest of Politics, we had, Rory Stewart was in a provincial town in Rwanda 2 weeks ago doing the episode. Pretty much you wouldn't have known that he was in a different room. I mean, I flatter myself, but...
Because I wonder whether one of the things that might have helped uptake of podcasts is that during the lockdown, a lot of the radio footage sounded pretty much like it was, because it was coming on phone lines and things. People perhaps have become more tolerant of...
Well, people still want things in good quality, because there's nothing that's more of a turn off than if you listen to something that it's hard to listen to. It's just, you just listen to something else. So it's worth spending the time to get it right. And I hope we do get it right most of the time. But it's something that we've really worked on and worked out the sort of best solution for. I mean, we've had some absolute shocking times with it. I mean, outside of The Rest is History, we've done, we produce the Match of the Day podcast, which is the biggest sort of football highlights program in the UK. We do a podcast for them, and trying to get former or current Premier League footballers to work out the various gizmos that we sent them from home during the pandemic was one of the most the stressful experiences of my entire life so far. So,
It's good to know that historians are better than footballers at that. Yeah.
Although I don't know if they'll be losing big parts of their work on Google, Microsoft Word.
I'd almost forgotten about
sorry.
A couple of questions, I guess, aimed more at me perhaps than you, Jack. What from Jane McShane? We've kind of answered this. What sort of preparation do you do? Do you have key points that you have to cover to do justice to the topic and then just see where the conversation and our questions take you? Or is it much more detailed than that? How long do you spend preparing for each episode? I mean, it varies. And it depends on how much about the subject that we know. But obviously, beforehand, we will sketch out a brief kind of plan of where we want to go. And the questions absolutely do structure episodes. And so Bob Cratchit, sitting in his chilly clerk stool in his counting office, he'll put the questions into kind of different categories so that we can kind of draw on them readily. And then last one, Dave 599, how are the guests chosen and how do you persuade them to do it? Do they all play cricket with me? Do they have books to plug? Do you agree to go on their podcasts? Is a pouch of doubloons required?
How many of your cricket team have we done now?
We've had Alex Preston. He plays cricket with me. John Houghton, who did the cricket episode. Yeah. He does. Is that it? I think that's it.
Jonathan Wilson,
who did football. Yes. And who Jonathan also does the sports presenting on our World Cups.
Had you played with the guy that we did from... the New Statesman,
Jason Cowley. Yes, I did. But yes, I had played cricket with him years and years ago. So this is an episode, Jason Cowley, upcoming episode on Englishness. And as you will find out when you listen to the episode, I played cricket with Jason on the day that Princess Diana died. And so we talk about that. And what a weird occasion that was.
In terms of the doubloons, we pay guests who come back for more than one episode. But I think in terms of the guests, the feedback that we've had is that the impact, if they're plugging a specific book, which they often are, a new book, the impact that on the book sales has been fantastic. I mean, I know that in certain Waterstones, the following week, just before Christmas, Bart Van Loo's The Burgundians, you could not get your hands on a copy,
which I love. Property.
Someone said they went into the Waterstones and tried to get hold of it. And, the guy was just like, what is it with this book today? the Dukes of Burgundy. Why is it so hot? So I did enjoy that.
Yeah. So how we get guests and how we choose them. I mean, it is kind of people that we know and that we know will be good. I mean, that's, if they're friends, they're much likely to come on, obviously. Or it could be people whose books we've read, who, you know, we've really enjoyed the book, and we kind of asked them to come on.
We're trying to push you to do more Americans, as we're trying to break America.
Yeah, you're like Brian Epstein, pushing the Beatles onto the Ed Sullivan Show.
So on that, we've got a very exciting guest coming up in the next few months, a giant of the history podcasting world.
Yes, we have. We have. And we've got all the hot questions for him. And also another thing might be that if there's a particular topic that we want to do that neither of us are particularly familiar with, we'll look around and try and find someone who would be good to do that. So, essentially, where there are fields that we are not qualified to shoulder the burden ourselves, we'll get someone on to help us with that.
Yep.
Any other questions you can see?
No, I think that's. I hope that wasn't really boring for everyone. Do you want me to let me read you a couple of bits from Discord on the latest episode? Leslie B. loved the Cultural Revolution episode, something I knew absolutely nothing about. Would love to hear more from Rana, such a great, enthusiastic communicator. I thought it was absolutely brilliant as well, and it's something that I know nothing about.
Yeah, so Rana is, as I said, he's a presenter on a BBC a Radio 3 podcast that is also a kind of arts program that used to go out in the evening on Radio 3. That's when I first met him about years ago, more than 10 years ago, where I was the guest. But he's just a brilliant, brilliant man. I mean, he's absolutely the guy to go to for modern China. And he's just fantastic. I mean, he speaks in perfectly formed paragraphs.
It's incredible. Yeah.
So I cornered him actually last summer when I met him and I asked, would he do it? And it's a measure of how busy he is that we had to wait till March.
So the rest is Chinese history is going to have to wait for a while. Then you're telling me if we.
Well, no, he said that he will come. He will come back. So that's.
Well, no,
so that's
I think. I mean, we've done that episode, and we did the episode with Michael Wood. I think those are the only Chinese related episodes we've done, and both been fascinating.
Well, Genghis Khan.
Yes, yeah, true.
A bit about China and a little bit in General Gordon.
China.
I mean, China is an absolutely massive area. And actually, so I know I've said this before, and if Dominic were here, he'd shout at me for saying again. But when I finish this book, I'm planning to have a few months off and devote myself to reading around areas that I don't know about particularly. And, you know, that's the fun of doing this podcast, is that it provides you with a justification and an opportunity to research fields that you'd always wanted to. And China is absolutely one of those. So very much looking forward to doing some more Chinese history.
Let me just read you one more comment on that episode from Brecht. The observation about Xi Jinping's fear of disorder stemming from his personal experience during the Cultural Revolution is definitely spot on. I'd add to that, though, that this sentiment is probably quite representative of mainstream Chinese opinion. At some point a few years ago, I was traveling in China when my home country, Belgium, was going through one of its periodic political crises, going XXX days without a functioning government. Whenever the subject came up, the reaction of the Chinese people would invariably be something like months without a government. Here, the entire country would go up in flames after a day without government. And I got to say, I mean, that's one of the, you know, I couldn't quite believe hearing about the Cultural Revolution that this is in, well, it's not in my lifetime, but it's in your lifetime. It's so
weird, isn't it?
This insane thing happened. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, also, in the news, in Shanghai with the lockdown, officials have been killing cats and indeed dogs, but particularly cats, on the assumption that they spread COVID. And so there's a slight echo of the Red Guards in Shanghai murdering all the cats in the Cultural Revolution. There's obviously kind of, you know, a periodic spasm within China that, you know, involves killing pets. Deckles, very good question here. While Stanley Baldwin, i.e. Dominic, is away on holidays, is now the time for an 8-part series on the Dutch Republic with Simon Sharma? Yes, it would have been. I missed the chance. But I can assure you the Dutch Republic will be coming. We are definitely going to be doing that. Bol, very complimentary about the Putin episode. So that's great. Thank you.
One of his suggestions, he's sent us a few suggestions, hasn't he? Yeah. One of them's the Suez crisis, which are quite, especially since the Falklands, I've seen a few people saying on Discord that we have to dive into next. And I think that is a must do at some point, isn't
it? So Dominic has written about that. Dominic's written about Suez crisis. So his books span 1956 through to 1982. So the Suez crisis and the Falklands bookend the sweep of British history that he's covered in his books. So that's a definite to do. Crimean War, yeah, would love to do Crimean War. Would need to dust down my copy of The Reason Why and things like that. But would love to do that. Otto von Bismarck, we could get Katja Hoyer back to do that. Unification of Italy, I don't know anything about that, I've got to be honest.
Well, I mean, we did a bit of Garibaldi, didn't we, during the World Cup last year, or the Euros, or whichever it was.
But I was kind of focusing on his connection to biscuits, I think, in that episode. So Dominic may know more about that than me. The House of the Medici. The Renaissance is definitely a subject that we are conscious that we have not yet really covered at all, and we want to do. But again, I do know about it, but I don't know enough about it. And it's not fresh enough in my mind that I would want to do a whole episode on it right now. But again, that is something when the book is done, you know, provided my computer allows me to finish it. we'll be doing that. Balkans and Yugoslavia, that's Dominic knows all about that. So that again is absolutely one that we're looking forward to.
Let me just read you one more, and I think we've done plenty here. But GT Avaledo, I like to go back to episodes of In Our Time after a similar topic has been dealt with on The Rest Is History. This is a quite a sort of po-faced Radio 4 history program. Have you ever been on In Our Time?
I have.
It's fantastic. Have you? What have you done on it?
I did the Persian Wars and the Roman Republic.
It's incredible. I mean, there are so many episodes now. I mean, you think we've done a lot of episodes. In Our Time has been going on for like, I don't know,
kind of 43 BC.
Yeah. It's been going on a long time. So let me just read the rest of that message. Sorry. They seem so earnest on the second hearing. The guests of In Our Time are like disciplined students in front of the classroom, while Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook are the snarky but ultimately good students at the back. Melvin Bragg is the jock who copies the good students' homework.
Oh, that's a bit harsh on Melvin. I mean, Melvin Bragg is very distinguished and by now very venerable broadcaster who, he has a few pet phrases, one of which is, let's go back to the ancient Greeks. He's always saying that. He
keeps them well focused, doesn't he? He keeps them on track. He won't let them go off on tangents like we.
And I think I mentioned it in the Industrial Revolution episode. He did an episode on the Industrial Revolution and got spectacularly cross with one of the guests who refused to acknowledge the role played by working class Northerners in the Industrial Revolution. And Melvin, not coincidentally, is a working class Northerner. So he had skin in the game there. Anyway, thank you very much. And thank you very much, Jack. That was fabulous.
No problem. I'm sorry. I hope that was okay for everybody.
You must come back on more often. We'll get Dom on as well. I don't
know.
Time.
Yeah, we'll get Dom on next time. And just to say, you know, again, we are genuinely sort of amazed and humbled by everyone's response to the.
Humble.
It's very nice to see. It's very nice to do something that people really enjoy, which people seem to really enjoy. The Rest Is History. Especially the members, I suppose. So yeah, thank you for all your messages. We do read everything. I'm sorry about some of the frustrations with Discord, things like that. We're trying to make it as user friendly as possible. We'd love to do all of your great suggestions. Hopefully we'll get to a lot of them. We've got hopefully we'll be doing the podcast in 20 years time.
Let's hope. Thanks a lot. And next time, Dominic will be back and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm going to jump on the tube to Brixton to come and see if I can fix Tom's computer. So tune into the next bonus episode to see if we recovered it or not. Goodbye.